better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Do we really think this is as good as we can be as a nation? I don't think the vast majority of people think that. There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there that are just not very good people.
That sounds kind of familiar.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And one of the folks that was reading the numbers said, wow, this is a great number. It's only 3 million job losses. And then, you know, I don't think this, I'm not reading this right. Let me look at it again. Oh, wait a minute. This is 3 million gain almost.
Here we go. Unemployment, employment, father, rose. I'm sorry, I'm a little stunned here.
It appears to be a stunner, much better than expected.
This is a huge gain, a huge upside beat on for this jobs report.
It's a stupendous number. It's superb. I mean, the fact is that we're back.
I think it was probably the greatest miscalculation in the history of business shows talking about Wall Street.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I'm suggesting to some of these governors, don't be proud. You'll end up looking much better in the end. Call in the National Guard. Call me.
Don't be afraid, you can
call me.
Maybe it's late, but just
call me.
Unchained and unstoppable.
People are driving. I may have to buy one of those things, drive around town in a trailer. What do they call that?
Oh, that there, that's an RV.
An RV. I think I'm going to buy an RV and travel from now on in an RV with our first lady. I don't think anybody would mind that.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, just when you think that CNN and MSNBC can't get any lower, they make even bigger fools of themselves.
Now, two people who advised this country's top law enforcement agency about the law, former FBI General Counsel Andrew Weissman, and we're very happy to welcome to our network Lisa Page, former FBI lawyer who worked as special counsel for Robert Mueller's legal team. She worked on the Russian government disinformation probe and on the Hillary Clinton email investigation, both, lucky for us, MSNBC analysts.
They've hired Lisa. I mean, it's bad enough that Andrew Weissman, who's the slimiest of federal prosecutors who framed General Flynn and Roger Stone, tried to frame the President of the United States and Carter Page, framed George Papadopoulos. It's bad enough he's there. Then you have this this cheating, horse-faced, by her own description in a tweet, a slut, who hated, despised Donald Trump voters, who found them despicable, who wanted an insurance policy to make sure that Donald Trump didn't become president, and now she's going. Oh, man. Oh boy, I don't know where to begin. 844-500-42.
I love you, Peter. I love you too, Lisa. Lisa, I love Lisa. Lisa. Oh God, I love you, Lisa.
You know, the thing is, we've had a trickle of these text messages between the two star-crossed lovebirds, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, but we've never gotten any of the steamy X-rated texts. You know they had to be plotting, you know, where they were going to play Doctor with the Shades Drawn. You know, why haven't we seen any of those text messages? I think we should, especially now that she's become a contributor to MSNBC. Did she ever get another job? I'd rather doubt it. I don't know if she'll be indicted by Durham. Probably not. I don't know if she did anything indictable, but she's a sad case. Will you see if you can find that tweet that she sent out where she said, I don't care if they call me a slut? Maybe we can read that later on. Maybe they should read that the next time they introduce her on MSNBC. Anyway, moving right along. As you know, the president called Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, a dictator today. Do we have that sound cut to play before I set up Governor Mills' statement on the president's visit to Maine? Let's play the sound cut of President Trump.
The country is reopening. Of course, right now, Maine is still tied up pretty tight because we have a governor that's not reopening very fast. But as
we why isn't your governor opening up your state?
I don't know. We don't know.
The states are being open. They're making a lot of money. That's why we have the governor. You have a governor that doesn't know what she's doing. And she's like a dictator.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Why isn't she opening up this
thing? What Maine people heard today, she said, was more of the same incendiary rhetoric and insults he uses to try to divide us and stoke tensions and fear. What Maine people heard today was largely devoid of fact and absent of reality. What Maine people saw today was a rambling, confusing, thinly veiled political rally. And now she really gets into the maudlin aspects. She's a victim, like Lisa Page, as a matter of fact. I have spent the better part of my career listening to the loud men talk tough to disguise their weakness. She is woman. Hear her roar in numbers too big to ignore. That's what I heard today. I don't care what the president says about me. I care what he does for Maine people. Mr. President, I don't take advice from someone whose failed leadership and lack of preparedness has contributed to the deaths of more than 100,000 Americans, including nearly 100 here in Maine. Maine CDC reported today that three more people have died in our state, and 36 more were infected. That may seem like a low number compared to other states. Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. Our numbers are comparatively low precisely because of the actions we have taken. And on, it goes on and on and on and on and on. As governor, this is the last graph. As governor, my responsibility is to protect the health and well-being of Maine people and to support our economy. That's interesting. She wants to support our economy, she says. And I will continue to strike that balance by striking down the economy. She didn't say that, but I added it. I urge the president to take his own responsibility to protect the health of all Americans as seriously. Okay. 844-500-4242. She also says Maine was the first New England state to allow indoor dining at restaurants. And just yesterday, we accelerated the openings of more businesses in 13 of our 16 counties. The problem is with this quarantine BS, Governor, in case you haven't noticed. I mean, do you ever talk to people who own restaurants, who work in restaurants? If you say you're going to be quarantined, I don't know how they're going to enforce that, but it's not exactly a way to attract people with the Q word, quarantine. So you have fewer tourists. Even if the restaurant's open, if it's in a place, any tourist attraction, which most of Maine is in the summer, you're going to have a much smaller number of out-of-staters coming in if they think there's a possibility they're going to be quarantined. So they're not getting the business that they should be getting. I shouldn't have to explain this to you, but I guess I'm one of those angry men that you've been dealing with for all your life. Although you haven't been dealing with me all your life because you're about 10 years older than me. 844-500-4242. We'd like to hear from some people who were in Guilford, Maine, who saw the president today, or who were in the crowds of people who were there. And we'd also like to hear from people who've had their own run-ins with these deranged anti-Trump people, like the nut who assaulted Charlie Chase. Charlie's going to be out tomorrow at his usual spot. I guess I think it's at the Fall River Industrial. Yeah, I think he's going back to the same place right outside the Fall River Industrial Park. And the Herald's going to get a picture of him tomorrow, so we'll have some stories on this. 844-500-4242. So I want to hear, have you run into any of these nuts? And tell us what it was like at the rally today, or not at the rally, but what the appearance of the president. 844-500-4242. Seth, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, Howie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Geez, what a beautiful day. What a great day to have a rally for Trump up here in Guilford. I'm a Maine lobsterman.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Maine, and I tell you what, I came up here with my uncle, with my wife's uncle, and just had a great time. I got to see the president in the limo, and boy, it was just perfect. There were a few protesters there. My uncle got called a rapist. I got that on video. And the thing is, this same woman spit on our crowd that we were with. So she got written up, and come to find out, she was from Chicago.
Huh.
So,
wait a second. Seth, do you think she was quarantined for 2 weeks when she came into vacation land?
That's exactly what somebody else said, Howie.
Or if you're a Antifa person from Chicago or any outside the state, I guess, you know, the rules don't apply. Just like in Boston, you know, when you're rioting and looting in downtown Boston, you don't have to wear a mask. You there, Seth?
Yes. Are you there?
So yeah. So were you in the group that was talking to him about the fishing regulations? But you're a lobster man. That's the whole thing that he was talking about was a little different, wasn't it?
Right. I did not go to Bangor for that, but I did get word from my wife that he signed 2 executive orders helping us. Which I just want to say, if Mr. Trump is ever listening to this, that man, we appreciate him so much. But one good thing that I got out of today, Howie, was I saw a young black boy come to find out he was from Haiti, and he was holding a sign that said "All Lives Matter," and you saw all kinds of Trump supporters around him saying "Great," and that is the best sign that I have seen all week. I'll tell you what.
Well, that's good. I remember when he was running for president, there was my daughter was working at the Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York, and there was this Haitian guy. He was an immigrant, and he came every morning. He would come before he went to work and stand out in front of Trump's headquarters on Fifth Avenue, and he would hold a sign saying "Defeat Hillary Clinton," and he talked about what the Clinton Foundation, how they that basically ripped off the island of Haiti after the big hurricane back when Obama was president. And I think he's got some support among Haitians. And there's a Rasmussen poll today came out, and I don't know if how good it is, but it said the president has 40% favorability rating among black Americans. So if he has a 40% favorability rating and that translates into votes, Joe Biden can go back to the nursing home on November the 4th. Thanks for the call, Seth. We're going to take more calls from people who were in Guilford and also people who have had these kinds of run-ins with these nuts who are just suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
This is Murney in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or family's music. And that's where Raycon wireless earbuds come in. They're the way to go. I'm holding them up now for the social media camera. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Massachusetts be the last state in the country to fully reopen?
Yes, I think so.
80% say yes.
Yeah. Massachusetts is not going to reopen until Donald Trump personally attacks Charlie Parker the way he did Janet Mills today. And again, Charlie Parker is just green with envy that he has been neglected in these attacks, mainly because no one's sure what his name is, whether it's Charlie Baker or Charlie Parker, as Joe Biden calls him, and now we
all
call him.
There's a lot at stake here.
So tomorrow he's going to announce the phase-in of the phase-in, and then they're going to go over for a keg party on Lake Quinsigamond at Karen Polito's house.
We can start talking about a gradual, careful, data-driven, phased reopening. Don't let a few nice days step on that.
Taylor, you're going to have to send me some more of that stuff. I've changed my mind on what my column's going to be tomorrow. Will you send me the thing from today about the phased in, phase in, and send me this stuff about the nice days again, too? Just send me a bunch of those cuts so I can have them to break up my column, my screed. Joanne, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you, Howie. I'm returning from a trip up to Guilford. I'm in 3 hours south in southern Maine. I had a great day up there today. Was at the rally site by noontime, and he arrived around 20 minutes of 4.
You had a good time?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Got to talk to a lot of people. We stood right across the street from about maybe 15 protesters, very peaceful. I would have to say maybe in the whole crowd, maybe 75 protesters. The rest were all Trumpers. And they all had lots of flags and honking horns, and were all in the spirit. Probably 3,000 to 5,000 people.
Wow! So 3,000 to 5,000Trump people, and you're saying under 100 protesters?
I would say so. I would say yes.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Thanks for. I'm glad you had a good time, Joanne. So you live in southern Maine?
I do live in southern Maine. We talked with people that came from as far away as Machias, another 2.5 hours. But a lot of them were from the Dover, Foxcroft, and Guilford area. But their 1,500 population, I'm sure, swelled greatly for a few hours today.
Well, your neighbors in southern Maine, are they starting to lose a little patience with the governor for keeping that part of the state shut down totally, pretty much?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just on the other side of Cumberland County. I'm actually in Oxford County, but it's ridiculous, and everyone's losing their patience because they're starting to let out-of-staters come in because we are a tourist attraction.
Right. I know. And I guess they're having these marches and parades in Portland, and there's not a lot of social distancing going on like there isn't everywhere else either. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And as you probably read or heard, the amount of guns being sold in the United States is skyrocketing yet again. It's at levels that haven't been seen since the run-up to the 2016 election, when people were concerned that Hillary Clinton was going to come in because she was running around the country campaigning against the Second Amendment, and people wanted to be prepared just in case that horrible thought came to fruition that she became president. It was not to be, and gun sales they went back to normal when people kind of relaxed. But now with all this civil unrest and this craziness and this coddling of looters across the country, gun sales are way up again. And we just wanted to check in with Cape Gun Works, which is one of our sponsors in a big gun range and the gun sale shop store in Hyannis, just to see how sales were going. Toby from Cape Gun Works, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Glad to be here, Howie. Thanks for having me on.
How's business, as if I didn't know?
It's brisk, to say the least. It's very similar to the COVID-19 business we did just a couple months ago in an entirely separate, you know, set of circumstances. It seemed like we were, heading for the zombie apocalypse then, and it's just fired back up. As soon as we were able to reopen, here we are again. It's amazing. One event to the next.
So tell me about the kind of different people that are shopping now for firearms.
A lot of people are coming in who've, they got their license to carry somewhere along the line and just never really came down and bought a gun. And now they're kind of first in line to say, all right, it's time. I had my license. I've had it for years. Some people have even renewed their license and still had never bought a gun. And now they're down here buying a gun for the first time. Then there's a whole other crowd. I mean, our classes are selling out. Every single class. We just booked two classes next week because all the ones that are on the schedule are full already. So we have two more next week. Just we're putting them on as they fill up of people who want to get their license to carry, because I'm still getting the calls every day of people going, what do I got to do to get a gun? And I'm like, do you have a license? A what? A license. No, what's that? And I have to talk them through the process and say, well, you're a few months away from exercising your Second Amendment rights here in Massachusetts. So there's that whole crowd, too. And then there's people who've had guns and, shoot. They're recreational shooters, and they just, for the uncertainty out there, they know ammo shortages are coming and stuff like that. They just want to stock up a little bit and get another gun, maybe get some ammo to put in the safe and make sure they have plenty on hand, So all three of those scenarios are an everyday occurrence here in the last few weeks, so...
Do you ever get someone coming in and saying, I always thought of myself as a liberal, but ...
They're not exactly identifying themselves like that, but you can tell just by the questions they ask, because they're very, they think it's like, hey, I'm here to buy a gun. And I'm like, okay, do you have a license? And they say, a what? And it's, now I'm filling in the blanks, and their jaw is on the floor once they realize how hard it is to actually acquire a gun in Massachusetts. I'm like, yeah, this is your constitutionally protected Second Amendment, and you're like a second-class citizen yet? You explain it to them, the process, they're shocked at, I thought it was easier to buy a gun than to, get a mammogram, it's all the...
Yeah, they believed that when Barack Obama said in some neighborhoods it's easier to buy a gun than it is to buy a book. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah.
What neighborhood would that be?
Yeah, well, there might be some neighborhoods in Chicago where he's from that, that might be true, but you're buying them out of the back, trunk of a car from the local gang member. You're not going to the gun store and buying them, that's for sure. And they've been stolen from a breaking and entering that probably didn't get investigated and no one got arrested for.
And I guess in some cases, Toby from Cape Gun Works, you have to ask them, what town are you in? Because some towns make it very difficult to get a firearm. And in some places, you have a group of towns, I don't know if on the Cape, but up near where I'm from, they get together in a consortium, they call it, and they all agree not to give out gun permits.
Yeah, exactly right. And fortunately, we're pretty good here on the Cape. I haven't heard of too many major hurdles or obstacles, but there's definitely, it's subjective from town to town. Every town is different. I had one guy email me today and say he tried to apply for his FID card, and he was told that he has to wait for phase two reopening to go into the police department because they're not accepting any applications right now. And oh my gosh, other towns are accepting them through the mail, or you can make an appointment, you can practice social distancing and everything else. It's really all over the map from, it's still kind of the wild, wild west mm-hmm. of police departments out there and what their standards are.
And if your town or if your police chief or the police department says they're not going to issue you a permit, you have the right to appeal, correct, to the state police?
Yeah, you do, but, you know, it's a major process, and eventually they're going to say, well, you know, just go back to your town. They're open now. You know what I mean? Like, by the time that process happens. So, really, they can just put the kibosh on, you know, getting a license, as we saw even in the early days of the COVID-19 crisis, where they just stopped allowing classes to happen. They wouldn't let us do them virtually at first, and finally they did. But and then, you know, people were saying they're getting turned away from their local PD. And, you know, I'm going to make a video one of these days about the process to get your license, because it's almost comical, you know, with the whole, I mean, it's sad, but it's, if you were to put it on a video, you wouldn't believe it. You know, if you walk people through the process, they just wouldn't believe that it was that difficult. And, you know, it's touted in news media outlets as, you know, one of the best systems in America for, you know, the gun licensing system, and it keeps gun crime low. Even though we're one of the most violent states in the Northeast, when you look at New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, which are constitutional carry states, and they have lower crime rates than us with our hard, tough gun laws, you know.
Right. I wonder, you know, now that you mention it, Toby, I wonder if that guy, Boam Pong, who was randomly firing at the police, allegedly, on Tremont Street late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Do you think he had a permit to carry? I'm going to guess no.
probably not. And I wonder if he'll be, you know, put away under the tough gun laws of Massachusetts, the Bartley Fox mandatory minimum 1 year in jail. You know, I'm sure that'll be plea bargained down to a lesser charge, and he'll be out walking the streets of Massachusetts sooner rather than later. So,
at least did keep him locked up, though. Rachel Rollins' office sent me a note today saying they even put out a press release on him. So they you know, again, I think he supposedly fired 20 shots at the police, and so they I guess they had to lock him up. But so what's the ammunition supply right
Our
now?
Our ammunition supply is holding steady, but it is being sold at a, you know, we were able to resupply when we were closed. If we were open all the way along, we probably wouldn't have any left. But when we were closed, we resupplied a little bit. And I spent the first 4 hours of the day today on the phone trying to get more ammunition, because I watch it go out the door quicker than it's coming in. So it's going quick. But I'm trying to get it, and it's trickling in, but it's going out quick. So...
Yeah. So now, are you guys, do you still have to make an appointment to go in there, or can you just walk in like the old days?
No, now it's like the old days under phase one. We were, you know, God and Guns won the day on phase one reopening. They were able to open, you know, our gun store again back to the way it was, but we still maintain social distancing and people wearing masks and good hygiene practices, et cetera. So that's a good thing.
You going to give anybody grief if they come in without a mask?
You know, a couple people have, and I've said, oh, you're supposed to have a mask on. And they say, hey, I really can't wear one because of an underlying medical condition. Okay, come on in. You know, it's like, who am I to sit here and say, you know, no, you know, you got to put yourself at risk if you're going to wear a mask. You know what I mean? We have enough room in our 4,000 to 5,000
right.
square foot showroom where they can maintain good social distancing.
And is the range open again?
Yeah, the range is open finally, which is great, and, you know, the ventilation system in there is probably equivalent to an operating room, so that's one of the safest places you could be out on the range. So that's been good, and people are happy to be back shooting. I mean, they were very upset at the fact that had to be closed during that whole time, even though that would have been one of the safest places people could have come in and exercised their Second Amendment, you know, so...
So the classes are filling up quickly, but you still have the classes. So if people want to learn more about Cape Gun Works and what you got for supplies, classes, et cetera, where should they go, Toby?
Yeah, they should go to the website at capegunworks.com. They could also email us, info@capegunworks, and they could also go to Facebook. We're pretty involved on the chat and message system on there as well. So, yeah, we're happy to help out any way we can, and we thank you for what you've done for our shop so far, Howie, and let us know if you need anything. We're here to help.
Well, I think the mailroom manager may have been in contact with you guys about something that we may need. You know, and I think people asking for their kids, by the way, speaking of which?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of people who've been coming in. Like, I had someone come in today and buy a bunch of pepper spray to send to their kids that aren't home anymore. They're starting to head back out the door, and they want them to have something other than a, you know, a sharp stick. So they're giving them pepper spray and whatnot, and, you know, starting to sign them up for classes to get their FID cards or a license to carry if they're over 21. So I'm seeing entire families coming in and taking the classes together. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah, bringing some families together.
The family that shoots together stays together. All right, Toby,
right.
From Cape Gunworks, thanks for being with us, and I'm glad you're reopened just like the old days, and I'm glad people are, you know, coming to the realization that they need to exercise their Second Amendment rights in these troubled times. Thanks, Toby. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
By the way, Cape Gunworks, during the panic, during this total lockdown, was doing remote classes, virtual classes. But now that the they're reopened, they can't do remote classes. I mean, this is just, you know, bureaucratic red tape, and they just keep changing the rules as they go along to hassle people. But they, you have to take the classes in person, and you got to take a class before you can go to the police station in your city or town to apply for the license to carry. So That's the way it works. So it's the rules change as they go by. A lot of people are asking, where's Charlie Chase going to be holding his sign tomorrow? I don't know, and I don't know what time it is.
It's Airport Road in Fall River. It's a rotary.
Right. It's in North Main Street at Airport Road, but we don't know what time he's going to be out there, though, do we?
I believe it's 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Okay. So 3 p.m. if you want to go out and see Charlie and stand with him. I don't think that guy is going to come back. I mean, he really got lucky when they let him go on personal recognizance, the Deval Patrick judge. But I don't think he'll make the same mistake twice. But, you know, you never know. If you want to go out and stand with him, 3 o'clock at the Airport Road Rotary in Fall River, right there at the Industrial Park. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Howie, hi. Honored to be on your show tonight.
Thank you.
Second time caller. It's been a long time. I'm calling to you from Greenville, Maine. It's about 25 miles north of Guilford. We went down there today. It was just wonderful, Howie. A lot of Trump supporters. I just wanted to let you know how biased the media is up here. They had all their cameras, you know, on the moon bats, and none on the hundreds and hundreds of Trump supporters that were there. I was 8 feet away from Trump. He waved to me, you know, gave me the thumbs up. I mean, I couldn't be more proud. It was awesome. My friend Joe and I took the ride down today, and it was well worth it, Howie.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good time. And, you know, you're not the first person who's told us that the cameras were concentrating on those relative handful of people that were anti-Trump as opposed to the thousands of people who were pro-Trump. Isn't that typical, though, Mark?
Hey, Howie, speaking of that, we got our own footage from our man on the street, Kevin, and I'm going to post it all on the Howie Carr Show site, and it's really great stuff. The crowd is just going wild. Trump drives by. You can see him waving. It's just, it will really set off your
weekend.
Oh, so
we have video. We have video and stills?
We have video, we have stills, we have cars that are decked out in Trump swag. We have a picture of Rick Savage tending bar. It's, you got to go to
HowieCarr.com. Rick Savage from Sunday River Brewing. He's the one, yeah.
I'll have this up by 7 o'clock.
Okay, HowieCarrShow.com, and you can go there and check out all the great footage from Kevin, our guy on the scene. And again, it's good to see all the regular the regulars, types of the Howie Carr Show. People like Rick Savage from Sunday Brewing and Paul LePage, President Trump. It's great stuff.
And Howie, if they missed the interview earlier with Charlie Chase and a special guest, that's posted up on the site as well, along with the mugshot of Aiden Courtright and the police report that they sent out.
Oh, the police report, too. Oh, excellent. Oh, good work.
The press release.
Oh, the press release. Okay. All right. So the press release probably doesn't have the barnyard epithet that the perp used against the sign that
I
Charlie
believe
chased.
It is there, and if it is, it is slightly redacted.
A few asterisks in the place of some of the letters in the middle of the word.
Correct.
Thanks for the call, Mark, and I'm glad you had a good time. And again, maybe you'll see yourself. Go to HowieCarShow.com, and you can just see all the video and the stills from the rally today and the appearance of the president in Guilford, Maine. Got time for Tom? Go ahead, Tom, quickly.
Hey, Howie, long time listener and sometime caller. Just before I get to my main point, I went to University of Maine Law School, and let me just tell you about Janet Mills. Okay, she is the prototype angry, insufferably thinks she knows it all type person, and it's just she's a plague to the state of Maine.
You really get that?
I'm an attorney
you know,
here.
It's pretty clear from that press release that she wrote that she thinks she knows everything.
Unbelievable! I had dealings with her when I was in law school in Maine. The point I wanted to make is for Mr. Chase and people in situations like Mr. Chase, don't rely on the political process to get any kind of justice, which is in Massachusetts, which is the criminal justice system. In Massachusetts, there's a statute. It gives a private cause of action. It's Chapter 12, Section 11I of the General Laws, and it allows for an individual to sue for civil rights violations.
He's got a good lawyer. I talked to the lawyer today, and Rick Chambers. See you on Monday. I'm Howie Carr.